We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle 0, Everton 1. A bad result at Goodison Park. A bad performance at Goodison Park. I'm Charlotte Robson, joined this evening by Norman Riley and Ben Wade, who have kindly stayed up. The game has finished. It felt like it wouldn't, but it has. And they have stayed up to talk about it with me. I was there at Goodison Park this evening. They were watching from the comfort of their own homes, and I'm so jealous about that. let's talk about the result then generally, guys, if that's okay. Terrible result. 10 men, Everton, 1-0, Everton. If we're being objective, is it just unlucky that we have had no points out of the last two games, Norman?
Very unlucky, I think. I don't think we've deserved to lose either game. You could argue that we haven't deserved to win either, but we certainly didn't deserve to lose. And again, being objective, if 6 weeks ago you'd said by the end of the rearranged Everton game, towards the middle of March, you're going to be on 31 points and 14th in the table. That would have been something at the time we'd have snapped your hand off for, right? It would have been fantastic. I think what makes it difficult to swallow right now is the fact that you're walking into that game thinking, if we win today, we can be 1 point off 10th. We'll move up 2 in the table. So your expectations shift ever so slightly, but ultimately, in the context of the whole season, given where we've come from, it's not the end of the world. These results aren't the end of the world. And we didn't, as I say, I don't think we deserve to lose either of them. The one against Chelsea, a bit of a pill to swallow because of Havertz getting the winner, despite the fact he should have been sent off, and it was at the death. This one coming forward 3 days later, 4 days later, right at the death again. What makes this one more painful is the fact that it's against Frank Lampard, who I think is an abysmal manager, and also against Everton, who are an utterly abysmal team. So it is devastating. We've conceded 2 goals at the death. We've lost 1-0 both games. We didn't deserve to lose. And despite how far we've come, despite the fact that we're missing Kieran Trippier, missing Callum Wilson, you know, we've been missing brilliant players. It's still really hard to swallow, but objectively, in context, put it to bed. Let's put it to bed and move on.
I would love to put myself to bed right now. I think that is good context and good like perspective on it, isn't it? Like, I am bitterly disappointed this evening coming away from a 14-minute stoppage time after they've gone down to 10 men. That is really crap. But
it was the man who attached himself to the post. I blame him for everything, to be honest.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's, you know, well, we can come on to that. We can come on to the mood in the stadium as well, preceding and following that. Ben, what do you think? Do you think all is lost, or do you think we just need to, you know, yeah, it's a bitter pill to swallow, but we'll swallow it and we'll move on?
No, definitely. I think Norman's spot on. I mean, if you'd have spoken to us and if we'd have been doing this podcast 10 minutes straight after the game, a bit like I did the Chelsea one, I'd have been spitting feathers. I'd have been absolutely raging. But I've calmed down a little bit now. And Norman's spot on in terms of the to put the game into perspective, we're safe. Like, we've almost turned the tables on Everton in terms of the positions we found ourselves when we actually played the reverse fixture, obviously the home game, where we came into that having just won our first game. But there was so much put on that game to kind of say we've got to follow up that win, and we need to start building results together. And you could tell in that game we just were up for it. We wanted it more, and I think as I say, this game meant more to them. That was kind of made it was a bigger game for us that game, and we battered them tonight. You could tell like the desperation from the Everton players, the crowd. That meant that was a bigger game for them than it was for us. And as Norman says, that's incredible to say considering where we were like 10 games ago. To think that this was kind of a game that we didn't really need. So I think it's not the be all and end all. I think as well as you say, kind of referring to the Chelsea game, I can't be too disappointed because we've played really well in both games, and we've held Chelsea and Everton basically to a chance each in two games. And like as I say, to have said that again 10 games ago, I would just be like, no chance. So we're still playing very well. We're still we're still keeping teams tight, but it's still a brutal game to lose to the Scouse Mountains.
Yeah, I want to just be subjective for a second because being objective is correct. However, right now, I'm a little bit tired, I'm a bit fragile. And to lose to Frank Lampard is right now, and I don't mean it so melodramatic here, possibly one of the most devastating things that's happened to me in time.
Not to sound melodramatic at all.
I don't know how I'm going to move on from this. And in fact, I mean, I'm just going to try and stay awake as long as I can and just see where my mind takes me, because it'll take me to a better place. I don't doubt it.
I think you should sleep, Norman. I think you should go to sleep. I will say, I will counter Ben slightly and say, I thought we played well at Chelsea and it was a very disappointing goal to concede, but I didn't think we were as good tonight. I thought it was really, I thought we were better than Everton. I certainly thought we were better than Everton in the first half. But I think heads went, I don't know if it was the atmosphere of being in Goodison Park where they were so desperate for something and their fans were so desperate for something. I don't know if that like fed into our players, but it became so, it was 100 miles an hour that game. It was so scrappy. It was so, it was a little bit all over the place. It was just particularly that sort of midway through the second half, I was just like, this is the kind of game where we will, we're going to concede.
Mm-hmm. I had that feeling as well. After about 70 minutes, I messaged Alex and said, I can see us losing this now.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't see us scoring, right? That was the thing. You couldn't see us scoring. And as you see, it was getting so scrappy and we had no, we didn't have any rhythm. That all that organisation that we've had lately, all that, that cohesiveness, that sort of battle-hardened attitude we've had in games, none of it seemed to matter. And we didn't look a threat going forward. Whereas in these other games where we kind of kept teams, you know, to sort of 30 yards, limited their chances, every time we've attacked, we've looked dangerous. Whereas tonight, it just looked a bit lackluster, let's say.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would agree, Sean, in terms of the, I think first half we were the better team and we looked like it was kind of, something was coming. And I think it's the first game where we've kind of come out after half time and haven't really kicked on. And Eddie Howe even said that in his interview after the game, kind of saying he was a little bit sort of disappointed with how we approached that second half. Obviously, there was a couple of changes. I think with Shelvey being a big one, I think it's kind of highlights and how kind of we take him for granted a little bit, because I thought Bruno had a good game tonight, but I felt like the midfield went missing in the second half.
Yes.
For the first time that we've kind of seen that, and he's a spot on in terms of, we didn't really create a single chance in that second half and we just lost our way a little bit. Why that was, I can't really put my finger on it, because we still had the majority of the team that's been grinding out these results. And I suppose it's kind of one of those things. We've maybe had a bit of fortune in some of the games where we've come back and won games where we haven't potentially sort of created loads of chances in games, but and we've been clinical. We just didn't get that opportunity tonight for
a number of reasons. But yeah, it's definitely one where you feel like there's going to be a reaction. Obviously, we've got a massive gap now until the Spurs game, but you feel like this one that's going to hurt the team, and hopefully there'll be a reaction from it.
The midfield point you make there, Ben, is really interesting. Shelvey was a huge miss. I think you're right. Bruno did play well in the context of the game, right? There weren't any particularly standout performances, but I thought he was one of the better performers. There was a piece of skill in the first half where he put a ball through that, created the chance that we almost scored from. It was outrageous, frankly. But Willock had a very poor game, and I think the reason that Willock possibly had a poor game is because Joe Linton was solid, Bruno was solid, but you've got two players who are more or less playing in the same position. That they kind of, they're so far withdrawn that Willock doesn't really have any kind of support. Whereas I think when Shelvey's on the pitch, Willock just gets a bit more, and obviously Shelvey can, you know, we know Shelvey can spray the ball around more, and he also, I think, he makes himself available for short passes more than some of the defenders, and I think we really missed that tonight. And as I say, despite the fact that Joe Linton and Bruno looked okay, I think those two being alongside each other and Shelvey not being in really impacted on Willock and what we get out of Willock, what we have got out of Willock, especially against Southampton, Brentford and West Ham, is his ability to kind of dart in behind Wood to kind of play left to right and to get into space, and he just didn't offer it tonight. So yeah,
I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. I think Joe Linton is what we've seen from him and his performances of late is that he's really good in an extremely specific position, and dropping back the way that he was today and being more in the middle like he was today, it just does not work. And it was good in the context of the game. You know, I don't think he made any, it's not like the Joe Linton of old where he made like ridiculous blunders, but it's becoming very clear that it's very specific how he has to be playing in what formation he has to be playing. Go on, Ben. I think you wanted
to. I was just going to say, I completely agree. He wasn't as effective tonight. I think I would probably put that down to the fact that who he was against. I mean, Doucouré is probably the one physical specimen in the Premier League that kind of can match Joe Linton. He's an absolute beast as well, brilliant player. And Alan's a dirty hard, you know what, anyway. You saw that for the tackle.
Son of a gun.
Later on. Son of a gun. I shouldn't speak to obviously mother like that, but apologies, patrons. But yeah, no, it was just, I think it was you're right, like he didn't have the impact that he can normally have on games, but I would probably give them a bit of credit and say, actually, they kind of matched up quite well.
Yeah, fair enough. We are going to get into team selection a little bit more and single out a couple of players in the second half of this show, as well as get into the red card and a little bit of that sort of stuff. But before that, we have some messages from our sponsors. If you hate messages from sponsors, consider joining us on Patreon with £6.60 a month. And we have loads of extra podcasts, like 40 or 50 a month. If that sounds like too many, you don't have to listen to them all. But there's a lovely spectrum of podcasts, so please do consider joining us. We'll be back in a minute.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network.
Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Welcome back to part two of the True Faith podcast. We are discussing a defeat this evening at Goodison Park. So we were thinking about team selection there. We sort of got into it a little bit with the midfield. What about ASM and Mankio? They didn't start. Every time I see Kraft's name, yeah, okay, every player, I'm going to almost call them employees there. I suppose they are. Every player has improved under Eddie Howe and his coaching squad. It is true. But Emile Kraft remains, you know, probably not Premier League standard, if we're all being honest with ourselves. I'm calling it. And Mankio was on the bench, and he eventually came on. So he's clearly fit, and that would be my choice. ASM did not start, but did come on. Norman, do you think that they should have started? What do you think? Do you think that would have impacted the game differently?
It's difficult to answer because Howe would have had his reasons, right? Now, Mankio, for example, out injured for a while and plays more or less a full game away to Chelsea as a wing back as well, not as an orthodox full back, right? So when you're playing as a wing back, I mean, it was a five-man defence, but you know he was kind of playing as a wing back to a certain extent, and you've got to do a lot more running, so there may well have been an element of tiredness in there. I don't know. And when we've played a back four lately, because of Mankio's injury, because of Trippier's injury, Kraft has been in, and Kraft hasn't played in a losing side in an orthodox back four, right? We lost against Chelsea. Kraft wasn't in the team, so I can see why. I mean, but personal preference, of course, I'd rather Mankio because I think he's a better player. ASM. I looked at Godfrey at left back and I thought, this is the kind of game I'd like to see ASM start. And even if ASM was on the left-hand side, Fraser, I think, would have taken Godfrey apart as well. So, yes, it was frustrating. And what I find really interesting is that, in my mind, ASM coming off the bench as a sub against a tired defence, against a shaky defence like Everton's, and even against Chelsea on Sunday, I thought, this is great. Imagine if we get to 0-0 70 minutes in against any team and we can let ASM loose against anyone, we've got a chance. But unfortunately, I think the last couple of performances, you know, it's almost like because he's so good, ASM, you're expecting him to perform miracles the moment he comes on the pitch and we're going to win. ASM's coming on, we're going to win. And it's not the case. And I will say he's our most creative player. He scores goals. And if he's fit, I would like to see him start. So I'm hoping that the next 2 weeks we go away to the warm training camp.
Warm weather training camp.
ASM gets his fitness back up in the next game that we play. If Trippier's not available, I'd like to see Mankio in it right back. That's not me blaming Kraft for the defeat at all. I'm just saying I think Mankio is a better player. In ASM, I'm not blaming Almiron for the defeat, but I just think ASM's a better player and I want to see him start. So I'd like to think that against Spurs, both of those players will start.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think there's any one player to blame for the defeat tonight. I think that it was horrible defending for the goal. You know, I'm sure we will touch on that before we finish up. But Ben, Norman's given his opinion on the team sheet. What about the subs in the group chat? You sort of said the subs have killed us here. I'm inclined to agree that the mood changed, the tempo changed, the whole game changed. It was already scrappy. It felt even more so in the ground after we made those substitutions. It just didn't seem to work. What do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I thought the employees that came on in the second half just didn't have the impact wanted. You can take Shaw out of the HR, but you can't take HR out of Shaw, can you?
God, I've talked to myself, haven't I?
Yeah, no, I think Norman's spot on. It's an interesting one because I'm exactly the same as you would expect. That game there was there for ASM to come in and take that game by storm. Like, it was literally ready made for him, as you say. I'm shocked that he started on the left against Coleman, who's actually still quite quick for his age. But like, I just feel like he's more experienced as well. Whereas against Godfrey, who's not even a left back, that had to be the change to bring ASM on and have a run at Godfrey. So I was a little bit disappointed by that kind of change. But the ASM one's an interesting one, just because I think it's almost like when he comes on in these games, there's so much pressure on him to, like, and he hasn't got the time. It's like, you've got 15 minutes, Alan, to come on and change this game when a team is sitting in deep. Like, it's not like he had counter-attack opportunities because they were just sitting and kind of holding on at that point for the point. And it was just, I think it was just it's almost like the pressure's all on him to pull out a magic bit of skill and turn water into wine or whatever into gold. And it's just, it was just too much for him tonight. So I don't blame him too much. I know we were kind of, there was a few scathing comments.
He's been sorry to interrupt you. He's been absolutely pelted on social media, and there at the ground, like the away fans around me were screaming at ASM. You shouldn't be on the pitch. You shouldn't be on the pitch. Stuff like that.
Why?
Just because I suppose, like you say, he didn't create a miracle.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I thought he didn't do. It was the wrong substitution against Chelsea, I think, in terms of. He struggled in that, but this was the game that he should have come in and had more of an impact. But as I say, I don't put this result sort of down to him. The other two, I thought Mankio was a bit poor when he came on as well. He stops his run tracking back into the box for the goal. He had a couple of sort of sloppy passes and just didn't really come in and do anything within the game. And then Murphy, I just think, again, just he doesn't really have the ability or the skill or kind of the guile to kind of expose weaknesses in Premier League teams. He's not a proper sort of starting Premier League player himself. So I just thought we lost a bit of him. Just although, I mean, having said that, it's not as if the lads that they replaced were like looked like they were going to create anything either. I would have liked to see Fraser stay on a bit longer. And as Norman said, have him and ASM maybe switching and putting a bit of pressure on Godfrey, testing him out a bit more. But it just never looked like we were going to score tonight, and it was disappointing. And the subs just lacked, they didn't provide any kind of impetus when they came on. A bit harsh to say they killed with, but I just think it was they were.
You were spitting feathers.
I was.
Oh, you gotta stop eating them, haven't you? I think the ESM, just quickly on the ESM, I do find it frustrating when people default to criticise him. He's a very easy target, isn't he? It almost seems as if ESM isn't absolutely outstanding, providing assists, scoring goals and being his usual brilliant self on the pitch, it's like everything's his fault immediately. It's obviously a very small minority of people who I'd imagine criticise him, but ultimately I don't get it, because the way I look at it is that ESM, not only is he a wonderfully gifted footballer, he's also had quite a lot of problems with injuries over three seasons. And basically, under Steve Bruce, he literally carried the team. So, as far as
I'm... And gets targeted every game.
Exactly.
That's the point, by the three, red card tackle tonight.
He has three players around him. Everton went down to 10 men, yet there's still three players around him. So, I just think it's harsh. And I think he's a wonderful player. And if he starts against Spurs or Wolves, for example, he's probably going to have a blinding game. So,
yeah.
No, I don't buy it.
I agree with that. I think it's easy to sort of scapegoat. I think, you know, our defenders have to take responsibility for their goal. Like, that isn't ASM's fault. And actually, that's kind of a nice segue into the next bit that I wanted to talk about, which is the red card. I said that's a red when it happened. I thought probably a bit of a soft red, but I reckon that is because his feet were up. And then when it started playing back, when the VAR decision came up and it played back, I was like, oh, both his feet are off the ground. Like, it's clearly a red. I couldn't believe it was a yellow. So that you'll hear, if you're a patron, you'll hear on the Matchday podcast, is celebrated like we've scored a goal. It was very rowdy. But this is it. It ties exactly into what you're saying. It's this, you know, ASM may not have scored us a goal tonight or even created a chance, but he draws players to him in such a way that, you know, Everton went down to 10 men. We couldn't have had a better opportunity than Everton going down to 10 men. But unfortunately, the game was just already mental by then, so it didn't really make a massive impact.
That was purely because of it. They know what he's capable of.
Like, yeah.
Alan doesn't do that to Chris Wood or some of the other players. Like, he knew if I let ASM get away here, this probably leads to a goal. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. From your side, looking at it on TV, clearly a red, Norman?
Absolutely. Yeah, just interestingly, both Alan's and both of the double L. Interesting. Yeah. That must be, that's a rarity, isn't it? Yeah.
Do you reckon that's why I went for him?
100%.
Can only be one on the pitch.
I was the only Alan. I was the only Alan in the world, my mother told me, and all of a sudden you're turning up.
Forget St. Patrick's Day, it's St. Alan's Day.
But the double L. So it was a clear red card. It was an outrageous tackle, because if you think of it like this, if he connected with Maxi, he would have done some serious damage. He's a foot and a half off the floor going in with 2 feet. It was a clear red. And what you're saying there about ASM drawing players away and that freeing up space for other players to exploit, it kind of happened, right? Because post-red card, they're not only down to 10 men, but also Maxi's driving two or three. He's pulling two or three players towards him. Willock has a great chance at the end, by the way. There was a great chance there. And when Yeni score from Shea as well, Shea heads it across the goal and it hits Keane. So, yes, it was a terrible way to lose the game. But ultimately, even when they went down to 10 men, we didn't necessarily take full advantage of it, but we still created two very good goal scoring chances. We need to try and remember that as well. You know, it wasn't all doom and gloom. Oh, we've gone down to 10 men and we were turgid because we still had chances. And if one of those chances had gone in, it was game over at that point, right? The sending off, I mean, totally and utterly correct. And in this situation, I'm glad that we had VAR, although it didn't make any difference ultimately.
Do you know what, Norm? I'm shocked to say this, but I actually don't think it should have been a red.
I completely understand that.
But when he makes the contact, like, he's kind of catches his ankle as he's come down. And I completely get, I understand why it was given a red, because he's diving in, lunging in. But he's lunging in from quite far away. And when he catches him, like, it's quite low. And I think in normal time, everyone was saying yellow card. I don't think anyone was saying red card.
You can listen to the Matchday podcast.
Well, apart from Shaw, fair play to Shaw.
Well, I've got a comeback on that.
But I just think, like, I've seen worse. Well, I don't know. I've seen worse. But like, I think it looks worse in slow mo. And I think in terms of where he's made the contact, I completely get it's reckless. It does fit the criteria for a red card.
Then it's a red card.
But I wouldn't have been like outraged if they'd have just said yeah to yellow.
Yeah, well, you're a very violent man by nature, aren't you?
That is true. Where do you think I'm getting these feathers from that I'm chewing?
Yeah. I think the way I look at it, right, compared to this, when Alan Pardew headbutted David Miller, he didn't really headbutt him, did he? He just kind of...
No, he didn't connect. It was still
a bit naughty.
All right, controversy. I think it's hard for me to take your take seriously, Ben, when you've said, I can see why it's a red card. It fulfills the criteria.
What I'm saying is in terms of when he gets told, go and look at this on the monitor, and then they literally slow it down to say, like, and the frame is showing he's a foot off the ground. But my point is that when he makes the contact, he catches him as his foot's kind of landing. So when he makes the contact, he's not a foot off the ground, is my point.
Okay.
For example, the free kick earlier in the game where Joe Linton got given a high foot because his foot was 2 metres away from Doucouré's head. again is just ridiculous. But it's like, that's my kind of what I'm saying is you can't give decisions based on the worst case possible scenario that might have happened. Just because his foot is a foot off the ground at some point as he's lunging into the tackle doesn't mean, oh, well, what if ASM's head was on the ground a meter off?
Okay. Like, All right.
Do you know what I mean? You can't like judge it by the potentials in the worst case scenario. You've got to say, well, what actually happened? He catches him as he's kind of landing. It's a bad tackle, but I'd be fuming if I got red for that.
I refuse to engage with you further on this subject.
Right. Well, let's move on past the red card. I think it's time. Let's talk a little bit about, before we wrap up, about the atmosphere there tonight. I got there quite early today because I had to meet some people, and I sort of was outside Goodison for a long time. These boys are making each other laugh, and I'm trying to host a podcast.
Sorry.
Yep, thank you. I was outside Goodison for a long time. Quite nice, actually. I was outside for like probably from about 20 to 7 to watch this sort of crowd swell and all of the atmosphere. And it was all very exciting. Like, people were started going in, you know, that sort of hour before, and the team sheet came out, and a load of people had that inflatable dinosaurs, but it was not to be because Jordan Pickford was not playing. Atmosphere was mint. Like, it was just very clear that everybody there thought Everton were there for the taking and were there to beat them, like, pretty comfortably. Really full voice the entire way through. Really strange. I know that Frank Lampard, had said that he was going to blast a siren or something and put flags on chairs. Fortunately, their turnstiles are absolutely fucking rubbish, and I missed the first minute of the game because I got stuck in one. The guy was like, oh, sorry, they get stuck. And I was like, then get new ones. Like, buy some new ones. But I know Everton are in some financial difficulties, so maybe it's not on their priority list. Anyway, I missed all the sort of like whatever scary stuff that Frank Lampard had planned. And didn't seem like many of our fans were particularly frightened by whatever his spooky plan was.
Are you suggesting Frank planted that bloke that ran on the pitch as well? That was as scary as it got.
Yes, I am. I'm saying perhaps that was his doing as well to break up play. You know how players, you know, they fake an injury or they take ages coming off the pitch. Well, this is one step further, and it's a protester. What is it called? Plastic wiring themselves to a, what are they called? I don't know what they're called.
Hog ties or something. I don't know.
Sure. Cable ties. So just a lovely atmosphere. It was, you know, after their goal went in, I mean, that there was only about 5 minutes left, really, but it was still pretty good. People getting frustrated, as I said, people getting frustrated with Maxi. A long time to be there as well, 14 extra minutes. It was like over an hour the second half, or like about an hour the second half. It was just long, so people were getting frustrated and tired, I think. But I assume it sounded good on the telly.
I don't know. I think the way it's set up to record at the stadium, I didn't hear Newcastle fans that much, but that doesn't necessarily mean they weren't loud. It just, you know, it depends on mic positioning, also how Sky filter the sound through, because you heard a little bit of it of Everton, but it didn't sound like the king. It didn't sound raw, and I think, look, I wasn't in the end. I don't know. You may tell me otherwise, but I guess the performance on the pitch probably, you know, has an impact on the general level of noise, right? It can kind of temper it ever so slightly because, yeah, out of all the performances lately, since Christmas, really, that was probably the poorest one. Look, and again, we had 17 shots today, like 8. We had 6 on target. I think they had 2 on target. We had 60% of the ball. We had 39% of the ball. We had 61. So it wasn't a terrible performance, but it was low energy. And I don't know if
that's interesting. Sorry to interrupt you. I'm really sorry. Because it felt to me really loud. I don't know. I was in the upper.
I think you mustn't have had your ear horn in, Norman.
Oh, I mean,
you know, the big
Because I could hear the Newcastle fans, but I know what you mean. I think it kind of was tied to the way the game was flowing, though, in terms of there wasn't a huge amount of kind of exciting action going on. And so you don't really get those kind of picks of like...
I was wearing a motorcycle helmet when I was watching it as well.
There you go.
And did you have your silicon earplugs in?
Yeah, my silicon ears on. I had those on.
All right, we're descending into madness. Last one. Does this really matter? Are we still going to be okay, Ben? Tell me.
Oh, I mean, it's a blow for the top 10 March that I was fully endorsing. I think it'll be tight, but in terms of where we'll finish, I think it's probably going to mean that we finish kind of between 12th and 14th, I think. But by no means is that a bad thing. I think we've shown, and we're still a tough team to play against. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I think without that red card, honestly, I think the red card gave Everton that like impetus. Galvanized. It did. And we see that all the time when a decision goes against you. It's like the injustice of it gave them an extra level, that extra bit of energy to kind of see them through for that last 20 minutes. I think that game ends 0-0 with 11v11 just cancelling each other out. I think there was an element where obviously we were kind of expected to push the game on a bit more, and maybe that's why ASM's come in dropping deep to kind of pick the ball to get space and stuff. But it's a bad result, but we've done so well in this run that we've been on, where we've not lost in 9, and we're a team to be reckoned with now. Like we're giving teams a good game, and we were the better team tonight for large parts of it. It's a bad result, but I fully expect the lads to come back in a couple of weeks against Spurs, a game I'll be at, firing, ready to go.
I agree. I think that you're right. We probably will finish between 12th and 14th. But ultimately, we're still, as daft as it sounds, we're still looking up the table as far as I'm concerned. I do think we'll give Spurs a heck of a game doing it their place. The slight concern I've had over these last two games is that we've conceded goals at the death in both of them. I think that just shows me that we desperately need a break, and this comes down to strength and depth in the squad. I think we're starting 11. I think we've got like 15 players who are really good, but I think when you're playing three consecutive away games in the space of 7 days, you probably want to be able to make slightly more changes than Hull was allowed to. You know, you've got Chris Wood ploughing only 4 up front on his own for like 10 games off the spin or whatever it is now. You know, we need the extra bodies that we just don't have. So I'm not too disheartened. I do feel that, you know, 24 hours from now, I won't be thinking about this game very much. 48 hours from now, I'll be thinking, I cannot wait for Spurs to come out these next 2 weeks. Can't quickly enough. So how are the lads? And still got massive faith in Eddie Howe. And I still love ESM and all of those. There you go.
There we go. That's a happy note to end on. Thank you all very much for listening. Thank you for subscribing to our Patreon. If you do, consider it. If you don't, we will be back this weekend with a free podcast. Not about a game. We will just be talking through things, I think, with Craig Hope. But if not, that's a patron. So join patron. All right, I'll stop hawking that now. Thank you all very much for listening. Take care. Speak to you soon.